Okay, Yashkaich to Heshi Kalis for sponsoring tonight's Shalom from Kugel. Ha'oisik v'tzarach yitziba, ha'osh baruch hu yishanim
s'charim.
Amen. S'chus r'fu shlema for all chayla Yisrael and nina r'fu.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Yashkaich. Okay. Pashas shayftim. Shayftim v'shayitim titin l'cha b'chol she'arecha. You should appoint judges, shaitrim, in all your gates that Hashem gave to the Shvatim. And obviously, besides the posh pshat in the pasuk, which refers to dayanim, the shaitrim are those that punish the people, they carry out, they enforce the psak of bezdin, b'chol she'arecha means in all of your cities, and so on. Obviously, the svarim darshan the pasuk as well. And the pasuk tells us, "Shayftim v'shayitim titanim lacha b'chol she'arecha, al b'roshin yachid." You should give for you, shayftim v'shayitim. Asher Hashem alkecha noisen lacha, Hashem gave to you. Why not b'roshin rabim? You should appoint shayftim v'shayitim over Klal Yisrael as a whole, titanim lachem. Why does the pasuk say b'roshin yachid titanim lacha? And the Bali Musa all explain with the same idea. Besides the simple meaning of the pasuk is coming to tell us that each person has to appoint shayftim and shaytrim over himself. Every person has to watch himself. A person needs gedarim. What he could do, what he can't do, what his limit is. Everybody knows what the limits are, what the nesyonos are, what the challenges are. Appoint shayftim and shaytrim l'cha, for you. L'cha yachid v'yachid. Every individual has to make gedarim, judges, over himself, to watch himself, to prevent himself from doing an Aveiro. Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitz, Miriam Ashkiach Zatzal, said once that Itzel Petterberger, Talmud of Yisrael Solanta, was mekabel on himself to fast the whole Chodesh Elul until after Yom Kippur. From the beginning of Chodesh Elul until after Yom Kippur. It's by day. By night, he ate.
Okay.
Is it? Okay. Tainus, he fasted. And Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch said about himself that he wanted to do that also. He thought it was a tremendous madrega to reach. He wanted to do it. He wanted to do it also. And then he said to himself, no. He said to himself, no. It's not for me. That's not a my madrega. For me, it's not what my avoida, it's not what my avoida is. Every person has to know what he could handle, what he can't handle. Shayftim v'shayftim titin l'cha. You appoint shayftim for yourself. Every person has to know what his limits are, what he can do, what he can't do, what chumras he can take on, what chumras he can't take on, what level he's holding at. A person has to appoint shayftim for himself and watch over himself. Nobody else is going to do it for him. It has to be l'cha, it has to be for you. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes to a person and tries to convince a person to take on a certain chumra. And the Yetzer Hara does not mean it l'shem shemayim. The only reason the Yetzer Hara does it is because he knows the person will have a very difficult time. He's not going to last. At the end, he'll fall, and he'll be depressed, and he'll be able to bring him to do other aveiros because he falls. The person has to know l'cha. You have to know where you are. You have to appoint shayftim v'shayftim l'cha, and the person has to know what is madrego, where he's holding. The Shulchan Kodesh took down from the Sefer Yetzirah. I've mentioned this many times, that shayftim v'shayftim titin l'cha b'chol she'arecha. Every person has gates. A person has the gates in his body that are his gates, entrance and exit to the outside world. A person's eyes, he sees with his eyes. The eyes take in what he sees on the outside. The ears, a person hears what's happening on the outside. With the nose, a person smells what's happening on the outside. A person's mouth, he takes in, he also gives out. The person interacts with the world using his mouth. The Zoya, the Sefer Yetzirah bring down, there are seven gates that a person has. The two eyes, the two ears, the two nostrils of the nose, the mouth, are the seven gates that a person has. And the pasuk is being meramis, says the Shulchan Kadosh, shayftim v'shayftim titin l'cha b'chol she'arecha. You should appoint shayftim over your gates. Be careful how you use your gates. How you use your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, how you interact with the world. The truth is, it's not only the gates, it's really the entire body of a person. Shlomo Kosh continues to write, and he says the word she'arecha stands for, shin stands for shinayim, teeth, the mouth, ayin stands for einayim, the eyes, the resh stands for the rosh, the head, or raglayim, the feet, the yud is yodayim, And the kaf is klayos, the kidneys, which represent machshava, etza. And a person has to use all his senses, his whole body, the proper way. You have to appoint shaitim v'shaitrim over all your gates, over all your evarim, to make sure that everything is used properly, the right way, not chas v'shalom the wrong way. Especially holding chodesh elul, so the message is definitely very clear, shaitim v'shaitrim titein lacha. We have to watch ourselves. Every person knows his limits. Every person knows what he can handle. But whatever a person can do, and whatever a person can watch himself, a little bit goes a long way. Rather take on a small Kabbalah that a person can do easily than take on a harsher Kabbalah or a difficult Kabbalah that a person will have trouble doing and might not be able to keep. So many times when it comes to Chodesh Elul, people ask, what Kabbalah should I take on? What can I do to improve myself, to show that I want to be better in Chodesh Elul? And the answer, of course, is that there is no one answer for everybody. The answer is it varies for everybody. Everybody is different. Everybody knows what madrega they're holding by and where they need chizuk, what none they need chizuk on. But whatever a person is good at, whatever a person has talent, is good at, and he can do, try to take something on in that inyan a little bit extra. A person who enjoys learning is able to learn 5 minutes extra, a little bit extra. A person who has time for davening, take on a little tehillim. A person who has opportunities for chesed, a small chesed. Take on something a little extra that he could do as a Kabbalah for the, as a schus for Chodesh Elul and for the Yom HaDin. Pasuk says later on, in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yutes, right by Shlishi, so the Pasuk says that a Melech has a Sefer Torah with him at all times. And the Pasuk tells us, Yud Zayin Yutes, V'hoise imoy, v'koravoy kol yumei chayav. The Sefer Torah should be with him, the king, and he reads it his entire life. L'man yilmad l'yeres v'shemekav, in order to learn, to fear Hashem. L'shmar is called divrei ha-Torah hazayis, to watch the entire Torah. V'esachukim ha'eloh la'asoysom, and to follow all the dinim of the Torah. Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Chof Hei, and I'll quote, maybe skipping a little bit in the middle, Mesilas Yesharim writes the following lashon. This that Hashem commands the king, the Sefer Torah should be with him, and he should read it his entire life. In order to learn as Hashem will to fear Hashem. This teaches us that a person only learns yira of Hashem, fear of Hashem, el menakriya habilti nifzekis, from reading the Torah, learning without interruption. Without any interruption. Call you mechayv, a person who learns his entire life, a person who wants to achieve Yerushimayim, the secret is v'hoisei imoy v'karavoy kol mechayv. A person learns and learns and learns without interruption. A person learns straight, has a tremendous effect on a person. Hashem made the Yetzihara, the Torah is the tavlin, the medicine, the antidote to fight the Yetzihara, the karavoy kol yimechayiv. And I know everyone knows this vart, but I'm saying it over anyway, because it's a tremendous chizik. The Gemara in the Darim, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, the Gemara brings down the famous story with Rabbi Akiva. What happened to Rabbi Akiva? His wife sends him away to go learn. He learns for 12 years. After 12 years, he comes back, and the Gemara tells us the story of what happened. He comes home, and the neighbor is speaking to Rabbi Akiva's wife, and the neighbor says, your husband left you. She says to him, if my husband would ask me, I would tell him to go back and learn for another 12 years. Wow. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva heard that, he turned around, didn't say hello, didn't go in, he turns around, wrap back to the Beis Medrash for another 12 years, he doesn't return home until 12 years later for a total of 24 years with all his talmidim. And everyone knows of Chaim Shulevitz's famous vort, one of the famous shmuzim that he gave, and he asked, what would be so terrible for Akiva would have said hello to his wife? He's standing outside, his wife says to the neighbor, if my husband would ask me, I would tell him to go back. So Akiva hears that, turns right around, and back to the Beis Medrash. He didn't say hello. Why didn't he say hello?
He didn't say goodbye.
He said goodbye when he left originally.
Why didn't he say, if my husband asks me.
Okay, but he understood that was what she wanted. He understood that was her ratzon. And Rav Chaim says his famous answer, 12 and 12 is not 24. 12 and 12 is 12. If Rabbi Akiva would have gone in and said hello, it would have been a hefsek in his learning. He was learning for 12 years straight. He came back with Talmidim, he was learning with them on the way. As soon as he heard they had rishus to go back, he turned around. Boom. Had he stopped in to say hello, it would have been an interruption in his learning. It's true, he would have gone back and learned a second time 12 years. But learning 12 years, with a break in the middle, and learning another time 12 years is not the equivalent of learning 24 years straight. 24 years straight of learning is much, much greater than 12 and 12. And Chaim Shmulevitz carried it down to our level. We're not learning 12 years straight. But an hour and an hour is not the same as 2 hours. A half hour and a half hour is not the same as an hour. A person who learns an hour straight learned and achieved more than a person who learns a half hour, takes a break, and learns another half hour. A person who learns an hour with a break, it's not the same as one who learned 2 consecutive hours straight. A person who learns straight is on a much higher level, and he gains much more by going without interruptions. Of course, it's not always possible. It depends where a person is learning, and what the situation is around him, and what tirdis he has. But when a person does have the opportunity to learn, don't make your own interruptions. Don't make your own interruptions and stop. A person gains much more by learning straight. Torah should be kol yimei chayiv, be with you all your life, without any interruptions. And the truth of the matter is that as we go through our days, we go through life, this applies really every hour of the day, no matter where we are, or where, or what situation we're in, we have to think, who are we? What's our tachlis? What's our purpose in this world? The king carried his sefer Torah around with him wherever he went. So no matter if he went here, he always had a sefer Torah to remember that he has to follow the mitzvahs and the chukum of the Torah. And that's a lesson for all of us. The karavoy kol yimei chayim. Especially holding out the chadish elul, try a little bit, the person's learning. Try, learn without interruptions if you can. And remember that an hour is not the same as learning 2 hours straight. A person gains much more when he learns consecutively. Miho ish ashambana bayis chadosh. We have later in the parasha that when the Yidden went to Muhammad, the Shaiter came, the Kohen Gadol Moshuch Muhammad came, and he gave the exemptions for those people who did not go to Muhammad. And the first of the exemptions are in Perik Chof, Pasuk Hei. Pasuk tells us, V'dibru ha-Shaiter meho'om leima. The Shaiter spoke to the people saying, Miho ish shabana bayis chadosh v'loi chanochay. Who was the person who built a new house? And he didn't have a chance to be a chanech the house. He didn't have a chance to live in the house, enjoy the house. Yelech v'yashuva beisai. Go back home. Why? Pen yomus b'mochama. Maybe he'll die during the war. V'ish acha yach nechet. Somebody else will
move in,
take over the house, and he'll never have a chance to live in his house. And Rashi says a few words. V'ish acha yach nechet, says Rashi. V'dovo shel agmas nefesh huzeh. And this is agmas nefesh. I built the house, I put all my koiches into it, and somebody else ends up using it, and I never enjoy my work, what I worked hard for. Tremendous tsar, and agmas nefesh it brings to a person. I think the Chiddush Erim says the following, and he asks, Rashi is very difficult. What are we worried about? The ish pen yomus b'mochama, maybe he'll die, and somebody else will move in. So Rashi says, V'ish acha yach nichenu, is agmas nefesh if somebody else moves in. Is that the agmas nefesh? The agmas nefesh really is pen yomos b'mochama. Maybe he'll die. He's worried. Maybe he'll die in the mochama, and somebody else will take over. So what's bothering the person? Pen yomos b'mochama. Maybe he'll die in the mochama. But Rashi seems to stress the point that the agmas nefesh is somebody else will take over what he did. The thing Chiddush Erim says the following. It's Chassidish of art, but very, very true. Dovo shel agmas nefesh huzeh. He says, you know what the agmas nefesh is? This person, if he goes to Muhammad, what's he going to be thinking his about house. The whole time? My house. I don't want it to go to somebody else. I don't want it to go to somebody else. My house. And even Bishas Misa, even if he's standing by Muhammad and he's in danger of being killed, ideally, what should a person think of Bishas Misa? Heruvei Tshuva. Think of Tshuva. You know what's gonna, occupy this person's mind? You know what he's going to think about? Yes. He's going to think about Ish Acham, somebody else is going to move in. That's the Agma Stavish. The Agma Stavish is, and instead of thinking about a Heruah Tshuva, instead of having Machshov about doing Tshuva, B'Shas Misa, when he's in a dangerous situation, and he's about to die, you know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about his financial affairs. Who's going to move into his house? That's the Agma Stavish. Says the Chiddush HaRim, a Yid has to think at all times about Tshuva. V'Sh'acha Yachnichenu, he's going to be worried about who's moving into his house. And that's Tom Sakana. A Yid B'Shah Sakana should be thinking about doing tshuva. And instead he's busy about Ish Acha Yachnichenu. That's the real Agmas Nefesh that's here. That he's occupied with these machshavas instead of thinking about a machshava of doing tshuva. Something to think about. Especially Chodesh Elul. We should occupy ourselves instead of worrying about what we do worry about. We should spend a little time at least worrying about doing tshuva. Okay, everybody likes a good story. So this is a famous story. But I saw it in greater detail this week. So, the pasuk says, "Umiho ish she'eres isha v'loy l'kach." Who was a man who took a wife, and he didn't marry her yet. Yerech v'yoshu v'beisai, he returns back home. Ten yamos b'mochama, maybe you die b'mochama v'sh'achar yikachena, and somebody else will marry him.
Here we go again.
So, well, it's a very famous story, but I never saw it in full detail. I saw it in full detail this week. Ramey Shapiro, Milbun, would say over the following story. He said he found in the Pinkus, in the book of the Chevra Kedisha of Lublin, the following mice. In the times of the Maharshal, Rav Shlomo Luria, he had a Talmud who was married, and unfortunately this Talmud's wife died very young, and he wanted to remarry and start a family. He had a problem. He came to the Marshal, his Rebbe, and he said to him, "I'd like to remarry, but I have a problem. Before his wife died, she made him promise he would never marry anybody else. She made him promise he would not marry anybody else. He told the Marshal, I promised her I won't marry anybody else. And, you know, I did it because, obviously, she was bizarre and sick, and I didn't want to irritate her, but Lamaisa, am I allowed to? Am I not allowed to? What can I do?" So the Marshal called the Bezmen together, and they will mat to him to remarry. They will mat him to remarry. He has a right, no problem, go ahead to remarry. The kitzah, he goes ahead, finds a shidduch, becomes a chassan, and everyone's very happy for him. Unfortunately, a little while later, he dies. He dies. Kitzah, the word spreads like wildfire through Lublin that the chassan died. And right away, everyone's putting two and two together that the wife is being tevei him shemayim because he promised her that he wouldn't remarry, and now he's remarrying, and she brought him up to shemayim. They came to the marshal, and they told the marshal that he died. Okay, this part of the story we can't understand. This is not for us. The marshal said to the Chevra Kedisha, prepare the mace for kvura. And when you have the mace by the Beis HaKvaros, by the cemetery, ready for Kvura, call me. I want to come to the Beis HaKvaros. They do a taira, put on tachrichim, they prepare the mace for Kvura. Come to the Beis HaKvaros, the Marshal writes a letter. And he writes the following washing. I'll quote it the way I saw it. Shalom, shalom uchem, pamalyo shomayla. Shalom to you, pamalyo, the bezin shomayla. Hayitachim?
How you doing?
Is it good? Is it correct what you did? A mitzvah asay is doiche olav. The mitzvah of peruvu, marrying an isha, is doiche olav of lo yachol devaroi. Is doiche olav. Is doiche olav. Gozrani yolechem. I'm gozer on you. B'koyach ha-toyra. With the koyach of toyra. Shetachziru lono.
Oh, wow.
They should give back to us.
That's great.
The guy. I'm sure. Okay, you should give back to us as give back this person to us. Give him back to us. And he comes to the Beis HaKvaros. He tells the Chevra Kedisha, take this letter and put it in the hand of the mace. Put it in his hand. Put the body down in the grave, but don't cover the grave. Leave the grave uncovered. Leave him there just in his tachrichim, with no covering on top, and put the letter in his hand, and everybody should go home. Everybody should leave. Everybody should go home. Okay. Everyone follows instructions. They put the letter in his hand. They lower the mace into the ground. They don't cover over the mace. Everyone goes home. A short while later, the mace wakes up and he starts walking at the basic kavaras, and he sees him walking around in the streets wearing his tachrich. It's a tchisa mace. He came back to life. They run to the marshal and they tell him, mace, and the story is all over about this person who came back to life. The kids are nice, they quickly take off the tachrichim, and slowly but surely he returns back to a normal life. But he had one promise. Time goes on, he can't find a shidduch. Nobody wants to marry somebody who died. She wasn't interested any longer. Nobody wants to marry someone who died. So it's a good shy over what a status is here. It's a shy, okay.
Unless she's a zombie.
Okay. Okay, the kids, he can't find a shidduch. Nobody's interested in marrying him because, no one wants to marry a dead man, so to speak.
He went to the marshal to get a shidduch.
The marshal said, I'll take care of it. The marshal is Baal, and he says to the Sar HaShikha, the malach in charge of forgetting, I'm goyzer on you that you should make everybody in Lublin forget what happened. Forget the entire story. Forget the story what happened. Forget the story that happened, and forget that he died, and they should forget about it. And Taka, as the weeks go on, people totally forgot about the story. Nobody remembered that he had been dead. No problem, he found a shidduch, married, mishpacha, and everything is fine. That was the story. I know you're going to ask me how we know the story. I don't know. Whatever the story is, whatever the reason is, so was the story. But when the story is said over, those saying over the story would say that the second mace, the marshal did is greater than the first. The first time the marshal did, he only affected one person, Tchias Mason. The second time, he was able to affect the entire city, but the entire city forgot that the story happened. It's a famous story.
Very famous story.
Okay, good. A nice story. But, Koyach of Torah, Koyach of Tzadikim. Tzadikim of a Koyach. We don't always understand what the Koyach is. We don't understand how it works. And none of us are going to sit here and try to figure out how this happened, how it worked. We can't. It's above us. We don't understand it. But we learned early in the parasha, Piyat Torah Sheyerucha. We have to listen to the Chachamim. Even if they tell us what's right is left, what's left is right, we have to follow the Chachamim. Not all the times do we understand what the Chacham says, what the Rav says, but we have to follow what they say. The Koyach of Torah and the mitzvahs that they have is tremendous, and that's above us. And we have to show our kavod and respect to the Chachamim. And you're going to tell me that we don't have a marshal today? And that the Gemara tells us, Yiftach v'dayrai k'shmu v'dayrai. Yiftach in his generation is as great as Shmu in his generation. We have to show our kavod to the Chachamim that we have in our generation as well. The famous story of the Chofetz Chaim, or Chaim Oizeh, the Chofetz Chaim, everybody knows. Well, the Maskilim, the Pasuk tells us that the Shaitan would come and speak to the people, and they would say, whoever built the house, go home. Whoever planted a vineyard, Shnata Kerbua Chiloi, go home. Whoever was Eras Isha Vlo Kacha, go home. Mi Hosha Yare Viracha Levov, go home. So the Maskilim once wanted to make fun of this parasha of Mucham and the Torah, so they put on a play. A little skit.
A famous story.
And what was that play? They had lined up on the stage
this parasha,
many people, and they had somebody dressed as the Chofetz Chaim, Chaim Oizer, some other Gedolim standing on the stage. And then the Kohen Meshuch Muhammad came on and he announced, Miho Ish Shabbat Abayis V'loi Chanachoy. Who built a house and didn't use it yet? Go home. So a few people walk off the stage. Then he announces, Miho Ish Shanata Karim V'loi Chiloi. Who's the man who planted a vineyard and he didn't redeem it yet? Go home. And more people leave the stage. Miho Ish Sha'eras Isha V'loi Lakacha. Who's the man who was married to Isha, didn't marry her? Off. And more people walk off. Who's the person who's afraid? And Rashi tells us, what does Hayare mean? He's afraid of Aveiris that he did. It doesn't mean he's afraid of Muhammad. And the Gemara says, even one who talked between the Tefillin Shal Yad and the Tefillin Shal Rosh was Chayze Me'archi HaMuhammad, returned from Muhammad. So the Shaita would announce who was afraid of Aveir Shabiyah, the Vesa did. And everybody walks off the stage, except for the Chavetz Chaim, the Chaim Moizer, and some of the other guys who are standing there, and they're standing there, and that's the Jewish army. That was the play that the Maskilim put on. They told this over to the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim said, Yeah, ain't a chinami. But they forgot to show the end. That those that went to fight,
there's chos.
Klal Yisrael won, Klal Yisrael won the Mulchama. Klal Yisrael won the Mulchama. Klal Yisrael doesn't win the Mulchama because of our strength, of the numbers. Klal Yisrael wins because of the schusim that we have, Torah that we have, the Gedolim that we have. And Taka, that's what happened. That's what the Jewish army Taka looked like. The Pasuk brings down at the end by the Egel Arufa, V'hoyo he'er ha'kroi ve'lachalo. The city that's closest to the dead body, to the mace, they measure, this came take the Egel Aspaka, asher u'ubad ba, asher loy moshcha ba'oil. And the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Zayin, Pen Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, V'onu v'omru yodeinu lo shavchu asadom hazeh. This Kainim say, our hands didn't spill this blood, v'einenu lo ro, our eyes didn't see. And Rashi brings down, was there a havamina that the Kainim spilled blood? It says, Rashi, v'chi also alev, does anybody think, shezikne bezdin shayfchi damim heim, that the bezdin are reitzchim, the murderers? El loy re'inuhu upertanuhu b'loy mezoinus v'loy levihah. Means we didn't see him and we sent him away without food, without an escort. But we didn't see this person leave. Had we seen him, we would have given him a zionist and we would have escorted him out of the city. And the Evan Ezra in this pasuk says something fascinating. And our eyes didn't see. Says the Evan Ezra, Perik Chafal of Pasuk Zayin, v'yitache. It could very well be, Shashem tziva lasus kein ha'ira kreva. That Hashem commanded the closest city to where the dead body was found to bring the Egel Arufa, kilule sha'asu aveira kadaimuha. Because if that city would not have done a similar aveira, it's true, they're not responsible, they didn't kill this person. But if they wouldn't have done some kind of similar aveira, lo'nizdamein lahem, she'yehorig adam karv mehem. It wouldn't have happened that a dead body, a person will be killed nearby. The fact that a dead body, a person was killed next to that city, is only because that city did some sins. Had that city been tzaddikim, never would a person have been killed next to the city. And Hashem's machshavos are very deep, no end, it's way above us. But had that city not done some aveiros, never would there have been a person killed next to the city. What we do affects everything that happened. What a person does not only affects himself, it affects the environment, it affects all around. As it's well known, in times of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, when unfortunately Chil Shabbos, there were people who started doing Chil Shabbos, and it started to spread, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta called an emergency meeting of all his Talmidim. And when they came, one Talmud was a little bit of a chutzif, and he said to Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, why are you calling us together? We should go out into the streets and preach to the people in the Chal Shabbos. Why are you calling us, those that keep Shabbos, to come to an emergency asifa because of Chil Shabbos? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, because if we would keep Shabbos properly, if we would keep Shabbos the proper way, then there won't be any Chil Shabbos on the outside as well. Our Shmira Shabbos, the Kedusha would spread, and everyone will keep Shabbos. The fact that there is Chil Shabbos in the world is because we're weak in our Kiddush Shabbos. And we're from Mechazik in our Shabbos. Reb Shach was once walking with his grandson, Bnei Barak, and they were walking on Shabbos, and they came to the edge of Bnei Barak. And Bnei Barak and Ramat Gan are not that far away, separate by a road. And the cars were traveling on the road. So Reb Shach said to his grandson, tell me, why is it that on this side of the road, the Bnei Barak, there were no cars traveling on Shabbos? And why on that side, there are cars traveling on Shabbos? So the grandson said, Zayda, don't you know, this is Bnei Barak, that's Ramat Gan. And Bnei Barak were all Charedim, and that's not Charedi over there, they don't keep Shabbos. And Rav Shach said, you have it all wrong, he said. He said, the reason why there's Chil Shabbos on that side is because our Shmiras Shabbos, the Koyach of our Kedusha, only goes until here and doesn't have an effect past here. If we would treat the Shabbos properly, our Shmiras Shabbos, our Kedusha, would spread, would cross over the road, and would affect those on the other side of the road as well. The fact that it stops right here, because Adkan, our Kedusha travels only until here, and it doesn't travel any further. Priskarov would say over, why is it when it comes to Yom Kippur, you find in the world, we'll say all Jews, but nearly all Jews celebrate, keep some form of Yom Kippur. Even those that have no shaykhis to Yiddishkeit the whole year round, comes to Yom Kippur, they have some connection. Why is it that Yom Kippur, even those that have no connection the whole year round, Yom Kippur, they have some connection. Why do they feel it for? And the Brisker Rav said the same idea. Because we treat Yom Kippur with such Kedusha. Since we treat Yom Kippur with such Kedusha, and we elevate Yom Kippur to the way it should be, that Kedusha spreads out into the world, and even those that are not a fry, they feel it also. Everybody feels the Kedusha of Yom Kippur. Because the way we treat Yom Kippur, the way we relate to Yom Kippur, has an effect on the entire world. We have a tremendous effect. A person has an effect not only on himself, not only on his house, not only on people, but everywhere you go, whatever you do, you have a tremendous effect. Whether you see it, whether you notice it, the effect is there. It's ruchnis, gashmis, a person has a tremendous effect. Especially Chodesh Elul, a person has to be careful, nefakert. A person has to try to have a positive effect on other people, and chas v'shalom not to have a negative effect in any way. But we mentioned many times that a person will come to Shemayim after 120 years, and they'll show him, they'll give him schar for this mitzvah, for that mitzvah, and he'll say, I never did it. It never happened. They'll tell him, you're right. But you were learning, and somebody else saw you learning. And because of you, they went ahead and they learned, or they organized the share, and they went and learned, or they started diving with the minion. And that's all part of your credit, your cheshbon. And you had no idea what an effect it had on somebody else. But it works the other way around also. If you do something not so good, and somebody learns from you, it's a cheshbon, it works both ways. But a person has a tremendous koyach. Avad, the midah tov is always more than midah parodius. A person can achieve a lot. Just end off with one small short story. The Nesiv HaShalom had a dream. And in his dream, he saw that the whole Chodesh Elul, the whole month of Elul passed by, and Rosh Hashanah passed by, and Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and he didn't do Tshuva. And in his dream, when he saw that all that time passed by in Tshuva, he gave a kishrei, he gave a scream, and he woke up from his scream. And he realized that it was still Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. It was before Elul started. But he gave that shrai and he realized that he hadn't done shuvah. And then he woke up and realized that it was all a dream. Okay, what about us? Chodesh Elul already is a week old, almost a week old. Rosh Hashanah is in 3 weeks, coming around the corner. Person, a little bit, make a little cheshbon where a person is holding. Try a little bit. Do something small. Rosh Tevis Elo is Anigu Doidi V'Doidi Li. Elo also stands for Ishgur Re'ehu Matonis Lev Yainim. Again, one way a person can prove himself is Ben Odom HaChaveroi. The way a person treats others is the way they treat him in Shemaim. The world works Mida Kenega Mida. The way you treat others is the way they treat you in Shemaim. You want to be treated well. If you dan others of Kafschos, they dan you of Kafschos. If you're easy going with others, easy with you. So a person has to work on Ben Odom HaChaveroi. We should have a Sivik Simitaiva, a good Gemen Shiar, and everybody should have Yeshuas and Mufuas that they need. We should all be Zaycha to be able to learn, to the Torah, and to be Zaycha, Simashikhs came here, remain Amen.
Amen.